transfigured on the mount, O Christ our God.
Thank you for tuning in to Be Transfigured. We pray that what you hear will inspire you to live a life in Christ and discover the Orthodox Christian Church. Visit our church's website at goflorence.org for more information about the Orthodox Church. Or join us in worship every Wednesday at 6 p.m. in Florence, South Carolina, where visitors are always welcome.
Almost as if I have to warn you today. The gospel is one of those days when we might hear something that makes us uncomfortable inside. And many times, you know, we like to go to church, and I hear this often. We like to go to church to feel good about ourselves. We want to go to church to feel some kind of peace. But there are times when the gospel, like an arrow, drives straight into our heart. And sometimes we hear things that are not so peaceful inside, do not bring us comfort. And I'm afraid today might be one of those days. So I'll start with the peaceful, comforting news. St. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's the word of comfort from St. Paul. There's the word that should give us peace in our hearts. But my brothers and sisters, if we dig deep into the meaning of this passage, it should pierce our heart. Because what does it mean to believe in your heart? What does it really mean to understand the message of Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, the Creator of the universe, has come down to become a human being, lived on the earth for 33 years as one of us, the same way as each and every one of us, except that he never sinned? What does it really mean to believe that message in our heart? It suggests that there is a difference between believing something in our mind and bringing that message and having it rest and nurture our soul, our nous, our heart. Because belief is an interesting thing. Do you know who believes in Jesus Christ more than any of us? But not in his heart? The devil. The devil knows better than each and every one of us that Jesus Christ came, was incarnate, the eternal Word of God, that he was raised from the dead. He believes in all of those things. And yet the devil is tormented. Because that news is not comforting for the devil. Because the devil does not embrace and allow himself to exist in the beauty of that news. The good news, as we call it. So this morning, the gospel tells us a story about the devil. And a man, two men, it says here in this gospel. The gospels tell us different versions of the same story, but it's the same message. Jesus is met by these two demoniacs. And when they meet him, The demons call from inside this man. They call to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, Jesus, you Son of God?" They knew him. They recognized him. They believed who he was. But they were not transformed. The demons go on to say, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" You see, my brothers and sisters, when we do not allow the saving message, the good news of God's incarnation, the good news of his death and burial and resurrection and ascension into heaven, if we do not believe in these things in our hearts and allow them to transform every moment of every day, that news is going to torment us. Because that news comes with it a whole lot of responsibility. What does it mean to believe in our hearts? It means nothing less than allowing God to govern our lives. And there are many times in our lives as Christians that we hear the message of the gospel, we hear the teachings of Christ and his church, and they torment us. What do you mean I can't live with anyone I want to live with? What do you mean I can't pretend to be married and have children? What do you mean I have to give a portion of my wealth to the church? What do you mean I have to fast? What do you mean I have to come for holy confession? What do you mean? What do you mean? Our questions are filled in our minds, and the truth of the church sometimes torments us. Because we're living in a conflicted world. We're living with the constant struggle that our flesh is fallen and is tempted by the devil to steer us away from God. But in our hearts, Jesus himself says, is written the law in our hearts. And so at the very core of our hearts, my brothers and sisters, there is this little flame. And every now and then, it flares up. And we have to take notice. Oh. And then we are convicted by the knowledge that our life is not as God wants it. But it cannot end there. It cannot end with simply acknowledging this conflict in our hearts. These two men, these two demon-possessed men, had in their hearts that same flame, and they knew, I have to get to Jesus. Whatever it is, I have to encounter God. And these were very powerful demons. It says here, they were so powerful that even the crowd would not pass by their way. They were such fierce demons who were in control of these men. And yet, when that little flame flared up, they knew what they had to do. They had to come to God. And they had to encounter our Lord in person. In a real physical encounter. And the demons began to panic. Wait a minute. We know that the end of time is coming when you're going to torment us, God. Why are you here now? I'll tell you what, God, the demons say. You see, there's these pigs over there. Don't destroy us quite yet. Let us go and do some damage to those pigs first. Now, this is an important teaching that we have to remember. These demons and all demons couldn't even enter the pigs without God's permission. So what does that mean about us? What damage can the demons do to us without God's permission or without our own permission? And you see, this gospel tells us that very simple truth, that in each and every one of us is a strength strong enough to cast out the demons in our life. And we all have them. Maybe not the demonic angels themselves, but we all are tormented by different things. Every time, I want you to think about it for a moment. Every time you hear a teaching of the church, every time the church tells us to live a certain way to express our love for God, how is that met in our minds? I know how I meet it. I struggle. There's a lot of things I wish we could do in life. But when God is our priority, maybe we take fewer vacations. Maybe we get rid of cable television. Cable television, by the way, besides being garbage TV, $1,000 a year for what? And yet, it's in all of our homes. We feel somehow bound, as if there's a squad car going down the street checking our house. Does this house have cable? Oh, no, it doesn't have cable. We better have cable TV. We want to be like everybody else. We don't want to seem strange, like we're willing to go without cable television or without satellite. Instead, the Lord says, bring your tithe to the church. This is probably the most tormenting news that we hear on a regular basis. That God has asked us to bring 10% of everything we have to Him and His church. And we begin to negotiate with God. Really, God, is that really what you want me to do? You mean you really don't want me to take my vacations? Would you rather, God, that I just stayed at home? And we take our vacations instead of bringing our tithe to the church. My brothers and sisters, take this opportunity to embrace the truth and that little flame that is in your heart. Whether it's about stewardship, whether it's about fasting, we're about to enter a fasting period of our church. On Thursday, we begin the 15 days of August, where we're going to be invited by the church to come to church every night. Is it something too much to ask for 14 days that we can come to the church every night for an hour? Think about that. Let's dwell just on that one thing. And if in our hearts, there's no way, you've got to be kidding me, God doesn't say we have to go to church every night, and that news begins to torment us, just maybe it's the demons trying to convince us, don't pay attention to the church. And yet God gave us the church to help lead us to Him. When St. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on to say, we didn't hear it this morning, but he goes on to say, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And he calls the church. And how shall they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So if being saved requires us to confess the Lord and to believe in Him in our heart, we must first hear that message, and that message comes from His church. You cannot have one without the other. There is no such thing as church on my terms. Christianity is not a buffet where you go and you pick this and you pick this and you pick this. I'm not crazy about that one. I'm going to leave that one off to the side. That is not the Christian life. The Christian life as established by the holy apostles, in which St. Paul was referring to, is the Orthodox life. Prayer, fasting, holy confession, holy communion, taking care of the poor, coming to church on a regular basis, not just for holy communion, but for the other services of the church, to offer prayers as we're going to do for our friends and our neighbors who are sick. This is the way of life that was established by the apostles. This is the way of life that brings the message of Christ to the world. Does the idea of following that life torment us? If it does, then we must rush to God. Schedule a holy confession. Come in front of the icon of Christ and open up, and God will restore that flame and kindle it to burn within our hearts. Because we might feel we cannot overcome the temptations. We might feel that the worldly life is too comfortable to leave behind. But as these two demoniacs, they had enough strength to overcome these demons, and so can we. If this is not evidence enough, listen to what God said. Go. It's a simple command. My brothers and sisters, listen to the command of God. Tell the demons, tell the temptations, go away. Or as we say in Greek, opisu mou satana. And they will leave us alone. Let them go into the pigs. And we will be restored and comforted.
Be Transfigured is a production of the Transfiguration of Our Savior Greek Orthodox Church in Florence, South Carolina. Worship services are held in the church each week. Please visit our website at goflorence.org for more information.